This fellow, this Pierre Pilar Desjardins, which I'll probably pronounce wrong, Jesuit priest, he's dead now. Very controversial character. But I was intrigued. I put this in the news sheet a few weeks ago when we were looking at the whole thing in the Holy Spirit. I stumbled across it, and it says, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I thought, how does that work? Do you know, I relate easily enough to being a human being, but how do I relate to being a spiritual being? And what does that mean? Because it seems a bit kind of difficult to understand. And when I was thinking about this, I started to think, well, what does God's word say about something like this? Because in a way, I do believe, as I prayed at the beginning, there is something within us that cries out for a deeper relationship with God. And what is it that's within us that wants this relationship? Why is it that when we've been looking at this past 2 weeks, when Mark's been looking at the cross, when he's been saying, this is what it's buying for us, and how he was saying last week that, you know, God's done this. It's not what you've done, it's what he's done. He's done this saving of us to bring us from where we were to where he wants us to be. Why is he doing that? What is it? And what is it that is within us that wants to move us from here to this person that we know is there, that says, I get this. I understand what Jesus has done. I understand where he wants to take me to. But I don't really understand it in my head sometimes. Because the Bible, whenever you open it, gets complicated. You realize that. There's passages in the Bible I like to actually skip through because I have little idea of what it's trying to say at this moment in time in my life. But we've got to keep trying. But so, in your pew Bible, in page 226, it says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I'm going to put them up because there's quite a... I've probably got too many scriptures this morning, but I just want to... I'm trying to prove a point, I guess. That, you know, Paul says to the Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Your Bible says a new person, I think, the good news. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So this is the result of the cross. This is the result of redemption. This is the result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone before us in all things. He says, Paul says, in his enlightenment says, look, you are a different person. You're no longer the person that was over here. Whenever you came to the cross and you embraced the cross for what it was, you then passed on to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. I love some of Tozer's writings. You know that because I've quoted him before. He's one of these writers that I avoid for long times because he scares the life out of me sometimes in some of the things he says. And I think, saved? I don't know that I am. But when you read some of his stuff, and I loved what he said about the cross, he says it has two effects on people. He says people are either going to run away from it or they're actually going to embrace it. But in either case, it'll kill them. Because you run away from it, you ain't going to get saved. But when you actually embrace it, you're going to die as the old man and become the new man in Christ, or woman. And if I keep saying man all the time, you realize, ladies, I actually include you in that. That we become this new person in Christ Jesus. That what Tozer's saying, the old guy, he's got to stop being the boss. The new guy has got to become the boss. And Paul, in his writings in Romans, he says, for many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So this new man is a different kind of being in a way. You'll find this on page 195 of the Pew Bible. That we become something different from the guy that was over here. And sometimes The guy that's over here goes through the crossing over here, looks exactly the same. Sometimes he behaves exactly the same. But he's actually been made new inside. He's become a new person in Christ Jesus. And in a way, what Paul is saying, this is the person that we really need to live out of, not the person that was over here. We need to live out of the new person that comes in Christ Jesus. Because he says that for many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And he tells us in that same passage in verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received a spirit of adoption that we might call God Abba Father. There's a new relationship being born here, not just in you, but in with the Father. This guy said, God, who's God? This guy over says, God, Father. There's a new relationship. There's this God that you might have thought about over here has suddenly become a father to you. He's suddenly not somebody that's distant, but somebody that's near. So near, you could almost feel his touch. Because this new man in Christ Jesus, this new person inside, is saying, I recognize this God. I recognize this Jesus. This is the one that I've been born all my life to have a relationship with. And because of what the cross has done, he's brought me into this relationship. It's something unique and wonderful for the Christian. And it tells us that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, he bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Once you become this Christian, there's no going back. Oh, you might want to live like the old person. Oh, don't you just, I do. There's so many nice things over here that I want to get up to. But the man over here says, do you know, there's no way that you can go over there and do it. I've got to be over here. I've got to embrace Abba Father. I've got to say, there's something different. I'm now a child of the living God. And he goes on to tell us, and if we're children, we're heirs of God, and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Really? This new man has that stronger relationship with God that God is saying, look what I've got, I'm going to share with you. It's like what Mark was saying about the cross, how, you know, he takes off of us the things that need to get rid of, and he gives us something new, this new man in Christ Jesus, that, you know, that we can find ourselves, that, you know, when we go through life, and, you know, and it tells us in Romans 17, you know, when we suffer with him, we're not suffering on the cross with Christ, but we are suffering the persecution. You stand up as a Christian in any venue today, and, you know, you soon find out, you know, in this day and age, what it's like to be a Christian. There's lots of things on the internet at the minute, isn't there, about Christmas. We've got to say it's Christmas, you know, because all these people want to say happy holidays. That's a real American thing, isn't it? Happy holidays. You know, we want to keep the fact that Christmas is about Jesus. But here we are, realizing that this new man is actually, you know, being glorified along with Jesus, because he's become this new person. It's like when, you know, you recognize, well, if we're made in God's image, well, you know, John 4:24 tells us that actually, you know, that which is born of the, in 4:24 it tells us God is spirit. I haven't put that one up for you, but it tells us in that verse, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You know, when we're singing these songs, the old man sometimes, he says, oh, for goodness sake, would it not be done with? I don't even like that song. What does that song mean? I'm going to keep my hands in my pockets. I'm not engaging with this music. But the man over here, the one that's inside, the one that has come alive in Christ, says, go on forever. Go sing the songs forever. Let us rejoice. Let's not bother about hearing the preacher. Let's just sing the songs. Let's be engaged with God, spirit to spirit, in our worship. That's what the new man wants to do. He wants to embrace that. Because we're born of the Spirit of God. You know, when Jesus had his encounter with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus says, how can I be born again? How is this? How does this work? Can I go back into my mother's womb? And, you know, and Jesus gets to the point where he says this, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is spirit. This is the new man. The new man isn't the one of the flesh. The new man is the one of the Spirit. The new man, the new person, is the one that actually wants to engage. If you like, the real you and I, the real you and I that experiences the life of God in us, first and foremost, through this redemption process of the cross, comes to a place inside of us to be total unity with God. You see, in Corinthians, it tells us that he who is united with God is one spirit with him. Do you know, we can't get any closer to God in a spiritual context because we are so united with him. We can't be separated from that. When Jesus says to the disciples, look, what God puts in my hand, no one can take out, because he knows the people that were born of God, those that were going to be united in spirit with him, it cannot be separated. That's why when we think of an eternal presence, you know, it's already, you are already in one sense an eternal being in your spirit. You know, it ain't going to die. It's going to live forever with God, whatever that might look like. If you and I were transparent, you know, if we could do one of those, you know, images inside of you and I, there would be a light and a glory that would flood this building. Because the real you, the one that's born of God, the one that is the spiritual being that's inside of you and I, would light this world. Why do you think Jesus says, you're a light set on the hill? Don't cover it, don't shade it. What's he talking about? He's talking about the glory of God that comes, that dwells in us because of what the cross has done, what the resurrection has done, and where we've come to when we become this new person. We become, if you were able to look inside each one that knows Christ as a Savior, there's a light that would flood this world. The glory of God that dwells in us. And the Bible tells us we're changed from glory unto glory unto glory. It goes on continually, day by day, as God fills our lives. This person that who we really are, not the person that sometimes people see. I always think of Moses when he came off the mountain. He put a veil over his face because he didn't want people to see the glory of God that was shining out of him. And in a way, the world sees us like that. There's a veil over us. It's often by the way that we behave, the things that we do, the things that we say. But the thing is that we are this new creature in Christ Jesus. This is what Paul tells us. The man and woman that's embraced the cross, that's taken on Christ as their Savior. He tells us in Ephesians 4:24 that to put on that new man, there's a decision process that we do that we actually want to live out this process. What's our problem? Or what's my problem? You deal with your own. I'll deal with mine. My problem is I'm so mind conscious. So often, my brain is so engaged with life, it forgets there's another dimension as a Christian. There's a bit of me that, through my thought processes, actually wants to do things differently. Now, you know, please hear me. I'm not suggesting that you disconnect your intellect. We need to use our intellect. We need to use our thought processes. That would be stupid to think otherwise. But what I'm suggesting is that sometimes we want to be so logical in the way we want to do things and work things out. You know, there's a bit of me when Neve was ill, the old man wanted to say, oh, what, these doctors have got to be right. They're highly intelligent and trained individuals. They must be right. You know, my conscious said, they've got to be right, we're in trouble. But the other man over here was saying, I don't care what they say. You know, we're going to look to a higher authority than what they are. They might be clever men and spent years at university, and we need people like that. But when they don't have an answer, I need to look somewhere else for the answer. You know, but the man over here is, it's a hoot, because what, do you know what we do nowadays? I bet you don't do this. When they tell you some fancy word, you actually then go on the computer and you Google it, so you become an expert in this fancy word, and you can actually tell everybody what it is. But it actually then traps your mind conscious into what that word is, rather than what God can do, because Jesus is above every word that's ever been spoken. He's above everyone and everything. So we had to learn to do that. So sometimes as Christians, you know, we kind of get ourselves locked in to what our mind's telling us all the time, rather than saying, what about this guy in here? What's he telling me? Because it seems to be contrary to the guy that's over there. And there's this, sometimes this tension that goes on with us. But this fact that we have this reality of the fact that God has brought us into a different place, it's a different reality. The way that we should be focusing so much more on kingdom reality, what Jesus Christ and the kingdom that he has and what he's building, rather than our own. Right, we need to be where this man is, over here, that realize that our inheritance from God as sons and daughters of the living God is a different way of doing things, is a different way of viewing things in this world. But in our, you know, when I think of that, and I think of the way that we, you know, I was thinking, I've been here in this particular church, it's over 5.5 years, and I was thinking about this kingdom reality, and I was thinking when I came here at first, and the very first sermon I ever preached in this church was about, William will tell you, he reminds me of it, about the thin place. About how this is a thin place, that how God actually views these things. He looks at these things. Well, what do we mean by that? It's an old Celtic thing, where it's actually a place where God's presence is there in a special way. And over the 5.5 years, for me, I've seen how this has changed this place. It's getting thinner all the time. It isn't where we are or where our destination is, but this journey that we're on is getting thinner all the time. And how do we connect with that? Just as you and I as individuals, you see, you and I and the real you, because of the Spirit of God within us and the testimony in which we are, it's not a pun intended, but we're a crossroads for society. You know, we have to be where people see a difference. You know, they can look at the old guy and they can look at him and say, oh, guy, he's just the same as me. I dare them to look at the new guy. Oh, he's different from me. Different in the sense that I'm born of the Spirit of God. Not different in the sense that I'm not a frail human being, but different in the sense of who my relationship's up with Abba Father. And because I've got that relationship, hey, I want to go over here and get this guy's hand and bring him over here. Because this is sheer. This isn't just for me. This is for all of us to share. This is to change the community and drag the community, even though it might be screaming and shouting, through the cross into this new life. And as we see this place becoming this thin place and getting thinner all the time, and willing to embrace the spiritual dimension and the kingdom reality, then, what does it look like for you? I get so excited. Because I live on an expectation. I continually live on an expectation. You have to live with expectation that God will come in a way that will astound us. See, in my mind conscious state, oh, Jesus, these miracles, they give me nothing but trouble. You honest going to tell me that a guy walked in water? That's totally against the laws of physics. It's not possible. Are you going to tell me that somebody got raised from the dead? Oh, come on. You know, or the leper got cleansed. You know, these guys that want to use all those things for metaphors. You know, if I was a leper, I wouldn't want to be a metaphor. I would want to be healed. You know, if I'm sick, I don't want to be a metaphor. I want to be healed. If I'm dead in my sin, I don't want to be a metaphor. I want to be made new in Christ Jesus. That's what I want to be. So my mind conscious state has got to actually detach itself and think differently and think of a different way of doing things. To be able, if you like, I think so often, you know, as Christians, we kind of hold ourselves back. The first thing we do when we meet a problem is we actually try and think it out and think it through and what the implications are. We sit down with pen and paper and we write down a list. You know, let's get this list, this is how we'll do it. You know, instead of actually taking a breath and say, wait a minute, how would God deal with it? What would Jesus do? You know, what's the spirit man inside of me that's connected with Abba Father and has this close relationship with him? Why don't we have a chat about this situation? Because it can change circumstances entirely and do things differently. You know, we get so constrained in ourselves, you know, by our senses, I mean our taste, our touch, our see, our hearing, feeling. We get mixed up in our emotions. And there's nothing wrong with it. We need all those things to live in this world. I'm not saying you can't detach yourself from these things. We're humans. But what I'm saying is we don't live by them. We don't make the important decisions in life by them. It's the man or the spirit. You know, why is it that, you know, we're told in the Bible, you know, we're in this world but not of it? Come on. I'm in this world but I'm not of it. I live here, I live and breathe in it, I do touch and taste and see and smell, I do use my mind to do things, but I'm not actually off this world. I've been born of the Spirit of God. There is someone inside of me that's different from the man that was over there. And this is the man that cries out to God. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Just as what I've been saying. Do you know, there's someone inside of me that wants to be free. There's someone inside of me that just wants to shout Jesus for the rooftops. There's someone inside that says it wants to be able to love in a way that it's really beyond what's capable. And love those that are incapable. There's someone inside of me that wants to do those kind of things. But there's also someone that actually says, oh, get a life. You know, that's not how you do things. That's not what we do here. We're stiff upper lip British people. You know, we don't get excited about anything. Unless it's football or rugby or something like that. Do you know, we don't get excited about churchy stuff. You know, that's for other folks. But yet, you know, we have someone living inside that wants to do. And one of the things, you ever reckon, I certainly do, more than ever, is that, you know, I know my body's not able to do the things. No matter how hard our Finley tries to keep me fit by chasing him, you know, it doesn't work all the time. The thing is that I know that my body's failing. But you know what the Word of God tells me? That the inner man's been renewed day by day. The strength of the spiritual being that I am, made in the image of God, should be growing stronger day by day as I am actually engaging with Him, so that when I face life, there's someone inside of me that's a lion that stands up and roars and says, no, that's not how it's going to be. Because when we were battling for the health of our wee one, there was a man that says, oh, this is terrible and I'll give up. But there was also a man inside that was saying, I'm blinking sure I'm not giving up. And it's not going to happen. This doesn't happen in my family. It doesn't take hold in my family. That's not what we expect. And God and I had a discussion about that. You know? And thank Him that He's my Father and He sees me as His son. And He looks at me and says, yeah, I'm on your side. You don't have to fight. Why are you fighting me? I'm on your side. Don't shout at me about that. I'm on your side. We'll sort this out. That's the kind of relationship we have with our Father. We can be honest with Him in our discussions. But there's this decision-making process that we go through, that we as individuals, as Christians, all the time are making this process. It's like, if you like, you've got your body, your flesh, you've got your mind, which touches on the soulish realm of emotions, and then you've got your spiritual being. You know, and in the centre of this mind person, there's this continual battle going on of how you want to do things, and you know, and how it's how we respond to it. I love. I'm going to put this one up. I've put the good news up because it's easier to understand. It's a wee bit of a conundrum in a sense when Paul says this: I don't do the good I want to do. Instead, I do the evil that I do not want to do. If I do what I don't want to do, this means that I'm no longer the one who does it. Instead, it's the sin, and I've put in brackets the old man that lives in me. So what Paul is saying in a nutshell, see the new me. I know what I should be doing, but see the old me, he doesn't want to do it. He would rather just get up to all sorts of fun as far as the world's concerned. But the new me, he says, oh, I know what I should be doing. I really need to listen to this new me, not to the old me that says, hey, come on, let's just do what we like. And Paul, and I'm taking this out of a chapter. You really need to look at the rest of it that goes along with it. That really, in a nutshell, he's saying, do you know, there's a battle that goes on inside me. It wants me to do the things that I really know the real me doesn't want to do. And I've got to fight. He calls it sin. It's the old man. He wants to raise his head. And he wants to be able to keep us down. And sometimes when I read that, I used to think, well, okay then, there's no point in asking God for anything then, because I'm going to do it anyway. Do you know what's the point in asking God to help me? Because as sure as anything, when his back's turned, I'm off as the old man to do what I want to do. You know, it's kind of that sense of, there's no point. There's no point. But I think Paul has actually been a lot more intelligent than that. You know, we believe, at least I certainly do, that I've got free will. I can choose to do things or not do things. I have that ability. I believe that's what God has given me to choose. I thank God that he allowed me to choose him. I thank God that I've found Jesus and I've chosen him. You know, but there's also that bit where I could have chosen another route. But you know, he's brought me to this place. But what I have to do, is here I am, this new man that's born of the Spirit of God, that's within me, actually has to have a decision-making process that avoids going back over here. And how do I do that? Well, you know, God's so gracious that he gives us the ability, because I find that I don't want to be the man that, I don't want to be a grumpy old man. Although I say to people, I've been practicing for the past 40 years with my kids and I've earned it. But I really, really don't want to be this grumpy old man. I want to be this man that, you know, has peace and tranquility, you know, and feed on that. I don't want to be the sort of person that says, see these people, I really dislike them intensely. I want to be the kind of man that actually says, well, I want to embrace them and I want to love them. But the old man says, you know, pull the drawbridge up, we'll not have a name here. You know, but the other man says, we've got to show compassion. We've got to show love. We've got to be tender to us people. There's that bit where sometimes there's a sadness comes over you. There's sort of feeling that comes over you that says, oh, I'm just so fed up with things. But the new man says, you know what? I'm going to give you joy. And you can't even measure it. It's so ecstatic. And that's the new man that I want to be able to feed off. And, you know, one of the things that traps us and changes us is the inability to forgive people. One of these days I'm going to be able to share how it traps people. There's so many people trapped in unforgiveness. To be this person that goes over here and says, God can forgive anything, so can I. Because the new man's made in his image. That's the kind of person that you want to be. So how do I get there? How do I change from this man that stands here? Well, we've looked at this scripture so often. And it makes you wonder why Paul puts it in then. you know, we keep doing it. It's on page 200 of your Pew Bible. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Or it can use worship. There's a bit about, here I am, God, abandoned in you. Everything I am and everything I seek to be is in you. I want things to change. I want my thought processes not to be governed by the way of the world, but to be governed by your word. And I don't want to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of my mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here's the change in the decision process. When we are wanting to be this new man, and this man in the middle is having these, I'm going back over here to the old man. Well, you know, the word of God comes to us and tells us, well, the process of renewing, you know, you're totally made new in Christ Jesus. You're spiritually born again by the Spirit of God. But the other part of your mind and your conscience actually has to go through a process of renewing and discipline and character building and all of that stuff. And it comes through the hard work of God's word and what it does to you. Because I remember somebody saying once, you know, when you're reading God's word, God's word's reading you. You know, you might be reading it and you think, oh, that's nice. Love never fails. And when you read that, you say, love never fails. Oh, that's pretty. That's a really nice sentiment. And the thought comes to you, how much do you love? How much do you love so that it'll never fail? And the challenge comes from God's word that you've actually got to, well, actually, that person, I kind of like them a wee bit, but love, that's a bit extreme. But God's word says, if you want that person and that relationship to change, love never fails. So the word's reading you as you're reading the word. And it's challenging you and I to change. There's a renewing process going in us as we meditate upon the word. And of course, because I've been going on about it right through this sermon about this new man. This new man is a man that actually is connected so much into God that the Holy Spirit himself, this companion, this relationship we have, is the one that actually can lead us and guide us and bring us comfort. The one that can actually open the Word of God up to us so that we understand it in a way we've never done before. Because the Word of God tells us that the Holy Spirit is indeed our teacher. So that we can do. So this new man actually, you know, we can almost, if you like, feed off him. We can learn that this new man that we are in Christ Jesus is a different person entirely. The real you, the real person that you are, is inside, almost screaming to get out, to actually help you be the person that you truly want to be. Because I don't care who we are, there's not one of us wouldn't truly to be more Christ-like in our life, in our attitudes to people, to us people in this world. There's not one of us would like to be bringing, you know, calm in a storm. There's not one of us that wouldn't like to be able to help someone on the road. The real you desires that. He desires it. I was trying to think of an illustration as I bring this to a close of how the real me is opposite. And it's a simple illustration. And I was thinking on this, of where I've been and where I am now as a Christian. And I can remember, when I started to develop as a new man and embrace the things of the Spirit of God, I started to find I had more freedom than I had before. And one of the things I used to go, and I mean, it's a simple thing. You might see me when I'm sitting up there in the pew and we're worshiping God, and I might put my hand up in the air. You think, exhibitionist, show off, what's he doing? Why is he doing that? What's that all about? You know, why can't he be the same as me and sit with my hands in my pocket? Do you know, there's a bit of me over here that actually wants to put his hands in his pocket. Because when you do the Myers-Briggs, and I haven't done it, but I've done bits of it, I'm an introvert. That's partly who I am. So I don't really want to be an exhibitionist. And there's times where, oh, Liam, why are you saying that? So I'm not in the mood for this. Oh, I've got up on the wrong side of bed this morning. You know, what's this all about? I'm just going to be who I am. But then we have this mind conscious and mind decision. Are you going to be the grumpy old man? Are you going to be the spoilt child that keeps his hand in his pocket? Or are you going to actually embrace the man of the spirit that wants to be free? Because the word of God says it's quite scriptural to raise your hands in prayer. It's quite scriptural to worship God with open hands. It's just symbolic of saying, look, God, I come to you, I'm innocent. I don't come with any ulterior motives. I'm opening myself up to you. My body that doesn't want to do it actually goes through this process of listening to the spirit man, overcoming my mind conscious that says, keep your hand in your pocket. Sit on them, it's better that way. Or be the person that wants to be abandoned in Christ. Because the real me wants to be abandoned. So I have to make a decision, a conscious decision, of either listening to the new man of the spirit or actually being the old man that stands over here. I want to be free. I was meant to be free. You were meant to be free. You were never meant to be constrained by circumstances in your life. You were never meant to be brought down, because you were born of the Spirit of God, made a new creature in Christ Jesus to live a life full and blessed in Christ. That's who we are. And the more that we embrace being the new people in Christ Jesus, the more this becomes a thin place, the more that God's presence comes and empowers us and embraces us. And when all of that happens, the more that the light shines, the brighter the community becomes, the more infected the community becomes by the light of the gospel of Christ, all because of what we choose to do, whether we listen to the old man or the new man. So my challenge to you is, you know, and is to think in the new man. I liked what Luther said, and I paraphrase it. He used to talk about fighting the devil. You know, Luther used to, in his Reformation days, talked about fighting the devil, but he says, you know what the bigger fight is? With yourself. That's the biggest fight we've got. The biggest fight we've got is this old guy over here who doesn't want to lie down. He doesn't know how to lie down unless the new guy over here says, I'm fed up with you. I'm going to keep you down and I'm going to keep you under. I'm going to believe in what God's done in me and brought me to. That's what we have to learn to do, I believe. To move from a people that says I can't to a people that says I can. And as Jesus truly said to us, of myself I can do nothing. Of myself, it was only that which the Father gave me to say and do. And when we can see this new man who wants to take on board what the Father says, to be able to do it, to actually take that challenge on. We're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. The real you is a spiritual being that has decisions to make, whether it wants to live as the old man over here or the new man over here. Amen.